How am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. I am broadcasting live from the Embassy Suites here in Norman, Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association convention is going on, and I'm right here in the middle of Orange Country. I'm at OSU's booth here. I'm surrounded by a lot of OSU professors, good people met. I got a special guest coming on here in just a second. Look like I can see the text line, so if somebody wants to text in a question to any of my guests, feel free, because I can see it here with me. Where I'm getting a little more sophisticated nowadays, but check it out. And we are on Facebook Live. I'm making sure my volumes are all correct, and I think I'm good to go. Everything's good. Let's check out some temperatures. It is actually warmer here in Oklahoma City than it is in western Oklahoma. 80 degrees at Slap Out, 79 at the May Ranch, 87 at Lahoma, 81 at Cheyenne, 85 at Hollis, out here in the Panhandle of Texas. 82 at Lipscomb, 82 at Miami, 85 at Dozer, and 84 at Wellington. Well, here with me, sitting at the booth here, we're at the OSU booth here, is Miss Laura Goodman. She's with the Oklahoma Natural Resources Extension. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
That's why I wrote it down. Well, I was looking over there a while ago, and I was needing one more guest, and I thought, I'm just going to make this an OSU show with the cattlemen's come do. And I seen the deal on virtual fencing.
Uh-huh.
And that's your baby, correct?
Yeah. So we've had some projects at OSU working on a virtual fence and trying it out, and we've been lucky enough to have some ranchers collaborate with us, and so they've tried them out on their cattle as well. And so we had a project with EPA looking at water quality and how we can graze our pastures in a way that we're not impacting water quality with animals being in the streams and such. And then we had another project, which was a conservation innovation grant, and that was working on how can we use virtual fence to improve our wildlife habitat while we're grazing. And
right.
So that was kind of looking at pollinator plants and how do we, you know, try to limit the infrastructure, the fence infrastructure for wildlife species that are kind of sensitive to having a lot of fence on the landscape. So.
Well, I know I've been hearing about virtual fencing for quite a long time,
mm-hmm.
but we're hearing a little more and more and more about it all the time. You know, Jimmy Emmons from in Dewey County, he just got his up and going. So, and I know I hear some stories. It's expensive.
Yeah. So it varies by the company a fair amount, but so some companies you buy the collars, and then other companies you lease the collar. And buy the batteries. And so I don't know if I want to necessarily say a number because the numbers are changing. But I think there's currently 5 companies that have virtual fence collars available in the U.S. And so we worked with Vents, and that's who those are the type of collars that we use for our research. But, you know, there's East Shepherd, Halter, Corral, trying to think if I'm forgetting anybody. No offense. And so there's options out there. Some of the callers require you to purchase a tower, and then the callers are communicating with the tower, and the tower is communicating, with satellites. So that would be for areas where you don't have good cell coverage.
Right.
There's other callers that you don't purchase the tower, but you have to have pretty good cell coverage in your pasture for those callers to get new information. So they're going to enforce whatever boundaries you've programmed until they get new information. So it's not like they're not going to work, but if you wanted to change the boundaries, they'd have to be able to communicate and get service.
What's the main goal behind virtual fencing?
So people are using them for all sorts of things. It's just the same as what you would do with traditional fence, but you can change it. It's plastic. So if where you put your fence isn't working anymore, you can change where that is. So a lot of people have interest for using it for rotational grazing, but you can use it. There's research going on to see how we can use these things, but there's folks using it for grazing areas where you may have had a wildfire in the past and not the whole area burned, so then you're wanting to graze the area that didn't burn. For keeping animals away from areas that have poisonous plants at certain times of the year.
Like broken branches of cherry trees?
Well, yeah, you do that. In Oklahoma, we have poison hemlock, and we have Johnson grass. Johnson grass isn't toxic all the time, but at certain times of the year it is.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So those kinds of things. We're looking at whether you can use it for creep feeding, possibly, or weaning. I don't know yet, but there's like 12 universities or maybe even more than that are currently working on projects. And so there's just so many options. And so I think we'll know a lot more in the next three to 5 years.
Yep.
as people get those projects finished up and we have better ideas of what will work with the collars and what won't. They're also improving the interface so that they're easier to use. It's easier to program. But basically, you're on your computer. With some of them, you can do it on your phone. You can, move the boundaries. You can even gather animals with some of the technology.
I gotcha. Sounds like you got the fun job, don't you?
Oh my gosh, it's so cool.
Yeah, and then so how do people go? Do they have any for children and grandkids yet?
I wish I'd have them for my kids. no, not that I'm aware of. It's really cool. And I think one of the things that I've been asked a lot lately is, have you used these on sheep or goats? Because I think that's a big issue for folks. The infrastructure for sheep and goats is pretty expensive. And so if there's an option where we could use virtual fence, that would be neat. So no fence has sheep and goat collars. I'm not sure if any of the other companies do. But, yeah, I think that's going to be another interest in the future.
It's going to be neat. We're going to be driving down the highway when we used to be looking at cattle just grazing out there, and they're going to have lights flashing on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Laura Goodman, thank you very much for coming on. And I know it was short notice, but I wanted people to hear more about it because there's people doing the virtual fencing. It's becoming a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, the NRCS is more and more interested, and I think they're actually offering cost share for using virtual fence. I'm not sure if it's in every state, but they're starting to make that available for prescribed grazing. So something to be aware of if you work with the NRCS office.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Well, today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. We're going to take a Wheeler General Store break as soon as I figure out how to do it here. And, I got it. There we go. We're going to take a break and be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at corteva.us/lumavia CPL.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Koss treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm live from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Convention here in Norman, Oklahoma. I got OSU blood lined up all hour long. So we're going to call this the OSU Cowboy Happy Hour. How's that, Doctor?
I love it.
I have Dr. Roslyn Biggs on here with me. She is the Beef Cattle Extension Specialist for Oklahoma State University. And she's always fun to have on the show. And got her daughter here. You want to give a shout-out to your daughter?
Yeah, shout-out to Spencer. He's joining me today and enjoying all things junior cattlemen.
Oh, cool. Well, we got, so how old is Spencer?
Spencer's 10.
All right, so she's going into what's fifth?
Fifth grade this year. She has an older sister that'll be a freshman, McGuire, and so enjoying the opportunity to be with junior cattlemen and learn all the great things that OCA has to offer.
Right, now, and it's a great convention going on so far today. Before we get into what Dr. Hall talked about earlier, he started off the convention with the New World Screwworm. So you remember Dr. Taylor Mouse?
I do. Okay. She's one of my favorites.
Yes. Anyway, she's listening today.
All right.
But she has a young lady that's been helping her the last couple of years, Madison.
Yes.
Zach, and we want to talk about her for a second.
Okay.
Her first year in school, vet schools this year. And I've been riding her a little bit because you guys are getting a new hospital.
We are very excited about that new hospital. I certainly appreciate the Oklahoma legislature and Governor Stitt for that commitment to veterinary medicine and really human and animal health across the state and the region so that we can turn out veterinarians just like Dr. Mouth.
Yeah.
And all this new class is going to be joining us. We've got their gray coat ceremony in just a couple weeks. I think it's on the 15th. And
right.
So folks at home, if you are wanting to cheer on your hometown new veterinary student, you can watch online. And
really?
We're excited about having
them. Well, I've been harassing Madison, and I know we're going to name the new vet center after you. Right.
Well, I think that might not be the best idea, but maybe we could go. My mother's maiden name was Clark, and so maybe we can go with Clark.
Clark,
something,
yeah.
Something like that.
I was kind of liking Madison Center.
Okay. That has a ring to it.
Madison Center. Okay. Well, let's get back to more. But that is great that you guys, because technology has changed so much in the last 10, 20, and 30 years, and we're
going to have a facility
yes.
that's really reflective of the quality of our students, quality of our faculty and our staff, and to really commitment to Oklahomans and Oklahoma agriculture and producers, just like we have at Cattlemen's Convention
right.
today. We're really excited about this new class. It will have an increased number of Oklahoma in-state residents in it.
I hear
so
that.
I'm a Southwest Oklahoma girl, and so I'm excited to have a few more Okies in that class.
Right, yeah, and I've been hearing little bits and pieces about that, that we're trying to get more. Basically, what it's narrowed down to is not that we don't want the out-of-state students, but we want vets going through there that are going to set up in home in Oklahoma.
Absolutely. You know, with the leadership of Chairman Harrell and all of those at OSU, President Hess, to get this commitment for us, we're excited to provide education for students from across the U.S., but most specifically for our Oklahoma residents, because in most cases, they're more likely to stay with us. Now, we have occasionally... I'm able to steal a few out-of-staters
yeah.
and send a couple to Western Oklahoma
yeah.
This last graduating class. And so I try to convert them while we're here, and this new facility will help do that, too.
How hard was that?
Well, you just got to get them here, let them see the people,
meet
immerse
the people.
Them in the culture, and it's not as hard as one might think.
Yeah, because there's some really good people in Oklahoma.
We do have great people, yes, sir.
Okay, off to the crazy news on the new world screw worm was broke last October, and we closed the border, and then it kind of quieted down, and then we closed the border again. The border reopened, and then we closed the border again. But this time, it's just everyday news about the new world screw worm. And Dr. Hall this morning talked about it, opened the OCA up with this deal, and so the listener didn't get to hear. You want to talk about what he was saying in there this morning?
Well, Dr. Hall, our state veterinarian, provided an update as to the planning that is ongoing within Oklahoma, as well as our other, you know, state counterparts, Texas in particular. We're real interested in knowing what they're doing. It's not that far from the Texas border, unfortunately,
wow.
in Veracruz. And so we are, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture and led by Dr. Hall have put together a working group. We've been meeting off and on for, I'm going to get lost on the number of meetings
right.
we've had, but it's been several, in trying to be prepared, trying to not cause an unnecessary alarm with producers, farmers, and ranchers, but certainly an awareness that this may be something we need to be poised to take a look at and looking at what our options are. We want to educate folks now so that, first of all, we've got surveillance going on. There are partnerships with OSU Extension, with each of our county offices, and our county educators in those offices. So if producers find something that's suspicious, if they have maggots in a wound that look highly unusual.
And smelled.
And there's some real characteristics to this. You know, this particular, for those that may not be familiar, New World screwworm, our biggest concern with this particular parasite is that it, unlike other maggots that feed on dead tissue, New World screwworm maggots feed on live tissue.
Yes.
And that is the difference. And we probably have producers, certainly my father and others of his vintage that remember having to get up every morning and go ride the pasture and treat newborns to make sure that those screwworms didn't get into to navel, other wounds and that kind of thing. So, you know, the keys I think that Dr. Hall laid out were we've got surveillance ongoing, we're working with our partners, with veterinarians and OSU Extension to if someone can easily submit something if they have a suspicion that they may have screwworm. Additionally, there's discussions as to if we get New World screwworm in Oklahoma, how are we going to handle that? Meaning, how will there be movement restrictions in place? Are there treatments available? What will that look like? And then finally, discussing our options when it comes to eradication methods, because, you know, those of us in the U.S., well, a little bit before my time, it was eradicated shortly before my time, but worked very, very hard. And a lot of dollars were invested to get this pest out of the United States, and we really want to keep it south of us, not have it cross the border, and work again to get it back down into areas that are less of a threat for us here in the U.S.
Yeah, because Dr. Hall showed a couple of pictures of maggots in the wound, and the fly isn't. It looks way different than anything we have. And you know, and this is just not only on cattle, but other animals as well.
We're talking a lot, you know, we're at the Cattlemen's Convention, right?
Right.
This is very cattle-focused.
Right.
But this particular fly, it doesn't discriminate, meaning it will infest cattle, it'll infest horses, sheep and goats, cats and dogs, wildlife. Wildlife should be part of the discussion, and that they have been part of those industry group meetings up until this point. And that's a big concerning factor, right?
Because that's a bigger industry, and Texas than cattle itself.
Wildlife and you know, our hunting operations, hunters of particularly of our wildlife populations here in the U.S. That's something we want to be able to preserve too, right?
Right.
And so I think it's worth noting that our last incursion into the U.S. was in the Florida Keys in the early 2000s, mid-2000s. And with that, the notable species there were the key deer. And so we certainly don't want to see this impact our wildlife populations like our whitetail population.
2016, is that right?
I think that's right.
I think it was before.
I was at OSU, and I kind of mark my kids' verse. I got to kind of think about where all that sits. But in 2016 era, and one of the things there that delayed the response was that surveillance piece, that it was not detected and reported as early as it potentially could have been. And so that's one thing as we talk about, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today to bring awareness to our farmers and ranchers, really all our animal owners, that this is a concern. And as I mentioned, we're concerned about it in animals, but this is also a fly that can infest humans as well. And there have been infections, primarily in immunocompromised individuals as we look farther to our southern borders. But we don't want to minimize this threat, really. We don't want everybody. No, we don't want you scared, but we want you aware. Vigilant is a great word to describe.
Vigilant is a great word. Well, last year when I talked to you here last year, and we were going to come on sometime or another and talk about the Asian tick, well, Dr. K mechanic, and I had a conversation on there here a while back, and he's pretty good. I like him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, and has some good work ongoing. We've got some projects both through entomology, which is where he sits in the department. We've got a vet med project going, if producers are interested in that, of identifying ticks in. Producers can sign up for that, and we will test for the agent that we're concerned about with the Asian longhorn tick, Tilaria orientalis aikida. We'll also test for anoplasm if they're interested in that, and then if they submit ticks, we'll identify those species.
How do they go about doing that?
They can contact me directly if they're interested. I've got some pamphlets here if they happen to be by chance here at the Cattlemen's Convention.
Yeah, they got OSU's got it going on here.
Cattlemen takes care of us at OSU.
I wonder why.
We certainly appreciate them. But if folks are interested in that study, we can get them signed up. We'll send them out testing supplies. The laboratory testing comes free of charge for that. And we can work with their veterinarian, or the producers can take the samples themselves as long as they're comfortable with that. But what we're looking at, in cooperation with Dr. Kamik and others, is much like New World screwworm, we want surveillance on that particular tick, too. We do not want it here in Oklahoma any farther. We want to monitor how it, you know, was identified last year in those upper northeast counties. And so we want to see, do we have it in other places maybe we're not sure of just yet? And so hence the research study and ongoing. Dr. Kamik also has, if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry, Jim.
No, you're good. No.
Listeners will hopefully put up with that. Dr. Kamik also has a survey, wants to know on producers some of their perceptions about that tick and ongoing operations there too. So a lot of work at OSU, particularly from Extension and then Vet Med, as well as entomology, that is focused on these pests that threaten our livestock producers.
Oh, yeah, and I've got to meet Dr. Ferris, his wife. She's come out and visit my peanut field a couple times.
All right.
She said she's found some bugs that don't exist in the book.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to convince her to be a believer of Bigfoot before she comes back. But was anything else going on you want anybody to hear about? I mean, you're busy. And school's starting here real quick.
School's getting ramped up. We're still rolling with Extension. I think with Extension, you know, sometimes folks are like, well, did you enjoy your summer? I feel like with our Extension activities, it just gets put on fast forward. So thank your county educators and your other folks that help with Extension for sure. I will mention when it comes to Vet Med, we have a new Center for Rural Veterinary Medicine that has been approved through the university. And so we have a number of activities related to that, both for young people that are interested in that Vet Med route. And we have a new website on that. Folks can find it online for OSU,
right.
Center for Rural Vet Med. We also have options for our existing students working on developing broader electives for our students, more experiences for our students to be better prepared, and then continuing with efforts like our integrated beef cattle program that Dr. Mouse was part of that early on. And continue with that program and others to support our new graduates and practitioners out in the field so we can keep do what we can to keep them in business and serving communities across the state.
Yeah, because big animal vets, they're becoming less and less, but we need them back.
We need them, and I think these, you know, the pests we've discussed just here today, particularly New World screwworm, there are boots on the ground, right, for finding and finding these kind of agents, for eliminating disease, for detecting disease and working with producers. And when it comes to it, both producers and veterinarians are incredibly committed to animal welfare and work hand in hand, but we got to work hand in hand. The time, you know, as I think we talked about last time we visited, the time to create that relationship with your veterinarian is not at 2 in the morning. That's not the time to meet. And hopefully by having better access to veterinarians and veterinarians that are more sustainable in their practices, we can do things like preventative care. So hopefully we can avoid those 2 a.m. meetups for that calving call or otherwise.
Right. Oh, yeah. And you know, and I don't know if you and I talked about it last time, but a lot of our older vets are retiring, and they're retiring in their late 60s and some in their 70s. So it must be a life they really love.
Well, we have done a, thanks to the Farm Journal Foundation, working with Oklahoma and the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, there was some survey of kind of what the status of rural veterinary medicine is here in the state. I will tell you, we have veterinarians that are in their 90s, still maintaining their licenses and practicing. And part of that is the commitment to those that they serve,
right?
And they want to make sure that the folks they care about are taken care of. But that can't be forever, and so we're trying to do our part at Oklahoma State, both through VetMed and Extension, to help everybody be in a better place and hopefully stay in business and enjoying, loving what we do.
Yes, and I read an article the other day. There's 37 vet schools in the United States, if I remember right, and they're building a great big new one out in California somewhere.
We have a number of new veterinary schools that are coming online, and the thing we want to look at those. We've got shortages certainly in our rural space and large animal areas, both food animal as well as equine. But we need more veterinarians that want to be educators too, and so. We've got a lot of challenges within the profession, but we have a lot of good folks working on it, and a great team at Oklahoma State, and really thanking the state of Oklahoma for the support and the commitment to veterinary medicine that supports our great AMLAN.
You guys have the grand opening. I'm coming up.
You're going to have to come. We should have a party, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be a party. Maybe we can get some of those red dirt bands or something back in there.
Oh, yeah, we can.
For us. Something
Boys
like that.
In Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. Did you go to that, by the way?
We went two nights, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Spencer get to go?
Yes. We took kids one night, and then we went, just the parents went
one night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So.
Well, Dr. Biggs, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come on, and you're welcome on my show anytime, and thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me, and appreciate you very much.
All right, we're going to take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey, farmers. It's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens, and we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 11th. 1,552 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 414 brought 451. 5 at 456 brought 449. 16 at 489 brought 4. 8 at 576 brought 379. 3 at 653 brought 345. 11 at 780 brought 307. 5 at 810 brought 315. 22 head of heifers at 362 brought 457. 8 at 576 brought 343. 4 at 654 brought 320. 14 at 805 brought 293. 5 at 986 brought 242. Butcher cows were 55 to 184. Butcher bulls brought 140 to 227. Bred cows were 1,900 to 3,500. Pairs brought 1,800 to 4,150. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Where's my mic? I'm not used to this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are broadcasting live from the Embassy Suites here in Norman, Oklahoma. The Oklahoma Cattlemen Association convention is going on. I have had Miss Laura Goodman from the Oklahoma or OSU Natural Resource Extension, and then I had obviously one of my favorite people to talk to is Dr. Rosalind Big. She's pretty sharp, you know that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So now I have Bailey Boyd, who is the secretary for the Oklahoma Collegiate Cattlemen's Association. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so we just kind of got called OCCA. But our club's real mission is to equip our members with opportunities and gain the knowledge of the cattle industry and really get them involved through different industry tours or meetings and just kind of really make sure they're kind of understanding the cattle industry and getting their foot in the door from our club. And a lot of them, that's what their desire is, to work in those jobs or have those careers in the future. So we really work towards making those opportunities for them to get going.
Guess what? You're going to have to get up. We go. We're going to do three at a time. How's that, Emma? We got another person coming on. Everybody probably knows her out in the listening group. Miss Emma, got the mic on the wrong side. Turn it around. there we go. Now we got you. Can you hear us?
I can.
Yeah, I can hear you. Emma Hickey's here also, and she is an intern from the Oklahoma Beef Council. So we're going to just have both on at the same time.
Awesome.
How's that sound? You guys actually know each other.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me the story.
Okay. Well, I had kind of seen him at Oklahoma Collegiate Cattlemen meeting, but never, like, talked to him in person. And then we just, by coincidence only, went on the same study abroad to the Czech Republic. So, yeah, and got to know him a lot better there.
So you're both in the OCCA, right?
Yes.
So we're going to continue talking about it. He was, when I spotted you, I didn't want you to think that you were out, because I went a little long with Dr. Briggs.
I kind of expected you to, actually. So.
Well, yeah, that's not saying much about me. So you were talking about actively better the knowledge. What kind of knowledge are you guys talking about that you do?
I think, like, we really try to work towards, like, what's current in the cattle industry. So we always do speakers. Like, every meeting we typically have a speaker from the college, a professor, or we invite someone in from a company or even just a rancher nearby Stillwater. And we really work towards allowing our student, our members to understand and know, like, what's happening in the cattle industry right now. Well, us too, the officers, we want to learn too. And so, like, we really work towards getting people that are currently researching, like, the big topics in the cattle industry, each meeting having someone coming in. And
so you're a junior, correct?
I'll be a junior.
And you're a senior, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Since you started college, you got into college, what is the craziest thing you've seen change about the cattle industry?
I mean, I think the market, like, and I started in 2023. Yeah. Like, it's way different than it was then. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing. We've had Dr. Peel on before, and even then it was different. He was telling us the cattle numbers were going down then, or the total cattle that are being still in production is still going down. I'm like, so he told us that in 2023, and it still happened in 2025. But the market, I think, is probably the biggest change I've
price,
seen.
Price-wise?
Yes.
Yeah, and she's got inside information on all that.
The market's been crazy, yes. I mean, yeah. So that's almost like, no offense, but like an easy answer of like, yes, it's gotten way better. But
No offense.
Just want you to know. But mine would probably be the EID, just because I, being in college, but then also going back to the livestock market, like, just people's varying opinions about whether that was a good or bad thing was just so interesting to see, because it was very controversial.
Yeah. And your dad, a couple times on the show, we were talking about it, because actually he's the only, and I hope I don't make anybody mad, I can say my personal opinion, and I'll listen to your opinion too, but he's the only person that's come on the show, or I talked to in person, that has a legitimate gripe as far as
my book,
because of the sale bar.
Yes.
And the government's not going to be tracking your cattle.
No. I kind of was led to believe that, and then I actually did a feature story for one of my class assignments, and I did it over EID, because I was like, I don't feel like I've ever heard an accurate, like, description of it.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm going to do my own research. And that was something they pushed. They were like,
intrusion of your privacy.
Exactly. This is not intrusion of your privacy. We're not going to know anything more about, like, what's going on than we did before on, like, everybody's private personal operation. As for the sale barn, I mean, I don't work for the sale barn vet, but from what I've seen, it's really not slowed stuff down very as much as what we were expecting it would.
Right.
Everyone's still worried if something crazy did happen, like if a reader broke or something, that would be horrible. But it's yet to have happened. So I think everyone's cooled off a little bit about it and accepting it.
Oh, not at that meeting I was at last night.
Really? No. Oh, boy. Okay, well, I take that back.
Oh, no. It's just, I get it. Your dad's reasoning is, a lot of people are not going to put the tags in their ears.
There's no way to enforce it on, like, private operations.
Exactly.
And private treaty, it's not going to happen. And, yeah, that's not exactly fair, but
right.
That's a weird kink.
And then we got this
out.
Guy that doesn't have any facilities, and he brings his whole herd into the sale barn. Well, guess who's got to do it? The
family. Yeah.
Your dad. And he even talked. He thought, I might have to put some extra facilities in, basically like at Elk City. And so far, everything's cool, and
from what I've seen, I think that we're definitely having to get more like experienced help, because I mean, you do kind of, that's an added step, you got to make sure that it stays snappy. But I mean, it's not been horrible.
Because I think there's a lot of people out there, and everybody might think, Jimmy, shut up when I say this. Because people are gonna go, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get a call from the Secret Service or the FBI. Hey, you got a cow out on the road. We can see that tag.
not anywhere near that.
No, you got to be with, I think, 15, 20 feet?
Yeah. So if you go through, they have, like, the reader, from my understanding, it can't read anything further away than, like, 3 feet.
Oh, okay.
And then they have, like, an actual scanner that's not a wand. And that one's a little bit further, from my understanding. But, I mean, it's still at a livestock market. And also, the vets were supplied, like, sale barn vets were supplied one reader. And so they were like, don't break this, because the next one you're going to have to pay for. So it's not like this is just, maybe eventually it will be, but it's not something that's available to everyone.
All right. Hey, guys, look, got time? Are you busy? Look, because we got more to talk about.
Okay, yeah.
You both of you, actually.
You can't shake your head. We're on the air.
You're on it. You have to answer the question.
Verbalize.
So you got time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. We're going to
we're going to take a Wheeler Dental store break, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? Look no further than the Frisco Center, located in the heart of Western Oklahoma. Whether it's a stunning wedding, a joyful reception, a memorable birthday party, or a professional seminar, we've got you covered. With spacious rooms and exceptional service, Frisco Center is designed to make your special occasion unforgettable. Located at 101 South 4th Street in Clinton, Oklahoma. Call us today at 580-323-7874 to book your date. The Frisco Center, where every event is a reason to celebrate.
Asher Oilfield has eliminated all the red tape. There's no faraway corporate office, no board of directors, no committees, no legal decisions or HR decisions. Just old-fashioned common sense. If you call, they go. If there's a discrepancy, they deal with it immediately. Customers like it, and that's why Asher has so much repeat business in Elk City, Lindsay, and Woodward. Look them up online at asheroilfield.com. For wireline and swabbing, Asher Oilfield cuts through all the red tape and gets the job done.
One of the computers here at the station was crashing, about to lose everything on it, and we didn't even know it. But Dennis knew because he was watching, and he warned us in time.
Hey Gabe, it's Dennis. Our system detected that one of your computers has a hard drive that's about to fail.
Which one?
It's Nathan's.
So what do I need to do?
Well, we probably need to get it in the shop and get the drive cloned to a new machine before he loses any data off of it.
Do you have another computer in stock that we can just get it fixed real quick?
Sure, we've got some in stock. Just need to get it in, get it cloned over, and be good to go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis.
You bet, sounds good. See ya.
ITL monitors our computers at Paragon Communications remotely, so Dennis Teal knows there's a problem before we even know it. He helped us save years worth of valuable files. ITL's remote monitoring comes in very handy here at work. That kind of security system for your computers can keep your business running so you can keep making a living.
The Elk City Chamber of Commerce and retail merchants are excited to remind everyone it's time to get ready for the sizzling summer sidewalk sale. As retail merchants roll out the savings for this once-a-year sale starting on Thursday, July 25th through July 27th, lots of shopping for the whole family. So come to Elk City and enjoy a great shopping experience and be sure and visit our wonderful restaurants with all their delicious menu selection. For more information, contact the Elk City Chamber of Commerce at 580-225-0207 or email elkcitychamber@itl.net.
Texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from IQBAR. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at eatiqbar.com/policy/terms-of-service.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBAR Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBARs are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBAR products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQBAR sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQBAR.
Now you can get 20% off all IQBAR products, plus free shipping when you text EAT to 64,000. Text EAT to 64,000 to get your 20% off. That's EAT to 64,000.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Jimmy Clark, and we are live from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Convention here in Norman, Oklahoma at the Embassy Suites, and I got a couple of young people with me. But first, we got to do the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 88 degrees, feels like 99. Heat risk is high, 70 for dew point. Humidity is 56. Winds are 0. 45 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. They got a rain last night. You guys get any rain you know of?
Yes, I got told we got a little bit of rain back home in Western Oklahoma.
So. Okay, cool. Yeah, I told I got a half inch, and some of my neighbors got more. And good, we'll take it anytime we want.
Yeah.
3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 89 degrees. Sunset at 8:45. 20% chance of thunderstorms today and 120% chance tonight. 75 for low. Tomorrow, hot, clear, 100 bucks, 100 degrees. What you giggle about, Bailey? What did I say was so funny? Oh, he's probably over there going, can you believe this guy gets paid for doing this?
Yeah. No.
No. All right. So I got Bailey Boyd and Emma Hickey in here. We're talking about the Oklahoma College Collegiate, same thing, Cattlemen Association. And you guys, you're a parent association of OCA.
Or no, OCA is our parent association.
Yeah, that's
yes,
what I mean.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, sorry.
No, you're good.
Your mom and daddy's the OCA. How's that?
Yeah, that helps a lot kind of with a lot of our events and getting to do a lot of activities with them. And Michael Kelsey comes about every single year and talks to us about what's up and coming in policy or what's happening in the city. And this year we're going to have the opportunity for the first time to, like, we're at the OCA Ranch Rodeo. They kind of do, like, their kids' ranch rodeo for, like, the medical center, and they asked us to come and help volunteer with that. So we're really excited to get through that for
that's
the first time.
That's in Tulsa this year?
I think that Guthrie still is what I believe.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah, you're right. Hey, so who's your favorite instructor? Dr. Beck?
Yeah. Well, he's here, so I should probably say that. I've never had him as a professor.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Dude, that guy is so full of cattle information. Oh, my gosh. He was telling me about they were rounding up some calves at Bessie this week. Mm. And he said, man, I've never seen the pond so full, grass so green.
Oh, yeah. It's a really good year.
So, all right, back to the ranch rodeo at Guthrie. And so what else do you guys do? You recruit new members and stuff like that?
That's a big part. Like, what we're kind of working towards now is we'll have a thing called Ferguson Roundup. And so the Ferguson College of Agriculture does a big get-together with all the clubs, set up a booth. And all the incoming freshmen or transfer students can come and walk through and kind of see the clubs that are offered at OSU through the Ferguson College of Ag and kind of see what they're interested in. So that's a big thing we're getting ready to do. We just kind of, the same poster boards we have here, we get it prepared and all officers get or go to that same event and kind of talk to people and recruit them and kind of tell them what we're about and try to get as many new members as we can.
Right, because that's coming up pretty quick.
Less than a month.
Yeah. And then, okay, so she's in ag communications, what are you in?
I'm agricultural education.
Oh, okay.
So we are the same department, just different majors within that.
Yeah. Okay. And what are you going to do? You going to be an ag teacher?
That's my hope, yeah.
You going to stay in Oklahoma?
I hope to, yes. I kind of come from a different background than most. I didn't have FFA at my school. I grew up in a really rural ag community, but they never had FFA or
what
ag.
What's that?
In the Panhandle in Turpin.
Oh,
so we never.
I get that.
We were pretty small, really? So we never had it. So that's kind of a dream of mine is to start a program
so
there.
You know they're all listening. They can hear you up there.
Yeah, they can. Yeah.
Because we got the show coming out of Woodward, too.
Yeah, so they definitely can, yeah.
Yeah. you want to say hi to anybody in Turpin?
Well, if they're even listening, I don't know. Hi, Mom and Dad, I guess. Maybe if they're listening.
Jimmy will give you the podcast link, too, so they can listen to it later.
There you go.
Okay, what else? We got a couple minutes left here, and your meeting. Tell us about the meeting, the first and third Thursday of every month, I guess?
Yes, yeah, every first and third Thursday of every month, we have a meeting at 7 in the Animal Science Building. And the room 123, and those meetings are kind of different from time to time. We sometimes get panels together of industries, cattle industries, from to production to ranches to feed yards, kind of whatever, and allow our members to kind of ask them questions and learn some more that way. Or we get local ranchers in, like the Pipers, or professors come in, like Dr. Messman. She's came in and done a talk before. So we do a lot of that at our meetings. It's just like getting our members educated on what's happening in the cattle industry.
Getting your ag on.
That's what we're going to call it, yeah.
And I would say they do a really good job of, like, providing incentives because every single time at the meetings they'll have food. And college students love free food. And, like, they'll, like, grill burgers for us, and it's so nice. Yeah.
Hey, did you learn any thing about the New World screw worm the last couple of days?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I've learned even more than what I had already, yeah.
Okay. Oh, cool. Well, we're going to have you come on again one of these days because we're short on time, because I'm sure that's a long conversation about school.
Oh, gosh, it so is. And I'm going to listen to the Livestock Marketing Association try to decide what they're going to do with it on Sunday. So,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
I'll be even more informed.
Right, and then Dr. Peel in the morning.
Yes, yes.
Is going to release his yearly forecast.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Me too.
So this is good. So, all right. Bailey Boyd. You're the secretary of the OCCA.
Yes, sir.
And what are you?
I'm actually not an officer on the OCCA.
You're just a member.
Yeah, I'm just a member, yes.
Well, you're too busy probably to be an officer.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. They have a point system. There's so many members, they have a point system, and I've just not kept up with my points enough to run for office. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, there's my outro. We're ready to go out. Emma?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming by.
Yes, sir.
Boyd, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It was all last minute. That's the way I do it. I do it on the fly when I come here. So anyway, it was a good time.
Well, we love it.
I enjoyed
it. Listeners love the on-the-fly attitude.
No. All right, it's Today in Ag. Jimmy Clark brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. God bless everybody and have a great weekend. Now it's time to go party at the OCA.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.